How's it going, everybody, and welcome to Just the Noise Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm your host, Daniel.
And today we're doing a podcast. Woo! If you're new to the channel, please smash the subscribe button and also hit the like button. If this video gets 1,000 likes, we'll be giving away one of these hot toys to one of you guys. So make sure you hit the like button and also comment what you guys want us to talk about next week. As you can see throughout this video and podcast, we took your guys' suggestions from last week and we're talking about it this week. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast.
I think we got to talk about it. This week, we got to see Rebel Moon.
Yes, Rebel Moon.
Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon. I think I really liked it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now there are some mixed reviews,
okay,
but the action's really good. I think the story's really good because we know it's a part one.
Right.
It's very obvious it's a part one.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are upset about, like, the plot kind of moving a little funny, but we got to remember it is a part one, and I'm pretty sure they're probably going to do, like, three.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with the plot.
Yeah.
I think it was really good, self-contained, like, first part. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, like, it's building out a whole new universe, right? We're looking at a new version of, like, for people that know movies, right? Like Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
George Lucas obviously started with episode 4, knowing that he was hoping that if episode 4 does well, he wants to go to episode 5, right?
Yeah.
And I think that Zack Snyder has a vision for where the story, he wants it to go.
Yeah.
And we just got to remember, like, yeah, like you're saying, part one. You know what I mean? And it's a great part one.
Right. Because it's kind of just like the introduction of what's to come.
Yeah, because like for movies like Barbie, right? For example, people want a sequel to Barbie. But Barbie is a very self-contained story of just, you know, we just want one Barbie. Like I think Greta and Margot Robbie, they just said, we just want one.
Yeah.
Right? So, but there's people that, you know, want a Barbie too.
Right.
And, but the way they made Barbie one, the Barbie movie, it was intended for a one movie, right?
A one movie.
So when you leave the theater, you're like, oh, that was a really good story. Mm-hmm. I felt very complete, right?
Right.
Because that's the intention. One movie. Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Exactly.
Great movie. Self-contained story. And it ends. And you're like, wow, it felt really satisfying. You're not thinking like, I want another movie.
Right.
But with this one, it's intentionally setting up the future. So obviously, you're going to leave with kind of like a cliffhanger. You're going to leave with like, oh, I want more.
Exactly.
And that's the intention.
Yeah. It's not supposed to like be like, oh, this is it. We're just cutting you off.
Right.
So in that regard, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
Because it's like a very good introduction. I thought it was good for being a part one. Because I'm sure we're going to get a lot of it in part two.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I think it's for the first time in a very long time that a movie could rival Star Wars. Like, I think there's a lot of potential here to, you know, be our generation's next big sci-fi family of movies, you know, collection of movies.
Because even Zack Snyder was saying, like, this is original sci-fi. This isn't, like, something we've had.
Uh-huh.
It's an original story that's completely new.
Yeah.
And it's something fresh. So I think that's refreshing in that sense.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see, like, you know, 10 years from now, where this movie's universe can go and what spinoff movies are to come, what video games are to come from this. And I think there's a lot of potential and it was such a good experience. So is it December 22nd?
I believe it's the 21st.
Yeah, so stay tuned for everyone that has Netflix, when Rebel Moon comes on, definitely check it out. I think it's going to shock you on how the visuals, the action, the story, the potential for where the story could go. It's great.
Zack Snyder did it again.
So moving on, there is something that really shocked me. I just read this, that we all love Panda Express. I love Panda Express.
I like Panda Express.
Okay. I don't want to speak for like our whole audience right now is listening, but for everyone that likes Panda Express, everyone knows for the most part, if you like Panda Express, you must like the orange chicken.
Yeah.
For me, all these years of going to Panda Express, you know, I used to walk in, you go through the assembly line, you make your plate, you go home, you eat it, right? Or sometimes you eat it there. And then they developed the drive-thru, right? The drive-thru Panda Express. And that was revolutionary. Like, it was so cool to finally go through a drive-thru and get Panda Express food.
Right.
Apparently, there is a sit-down fine dining Panda Express.
What?
Where you could sit down, get items that are on the main Panda Express menu and some that are not, right? But there are the Panda Express menu items that you would get at the drive-thru, but it's gourmet. Like, it's a little bit better.
What the heck? So it's like a full-on restaurant where you sit down, you order off this menu, and there's like a waiter and everything.
Oh, yeah.
What?
But it's called Panda Express. And it's not like, oh, it has the same name.
Yeah.
It is Panda Express, owned by the Panda Express company.
What the heck? Where is this?
You know, I think it is somewhere in California. I can't remember if it was Palm Springs or San Diego or Ontario. I don't remember. But it's for everyone that lives in California, there is one. I think it was like, you're looking at about $50 a person.
$50 a person?
Yeah, because I think it is pretty expensive.
It better be that good then.
Well, I know how like regular Panda Express is.
Right.
It's got to be better than that.
But like, $50 a person is crazy. Yeah,
I think it is considered fine dining, so that's why it's so expensive.
Okay.
Like, because most people are going to get appetizers. Yeah. Right? You're going to get a side of whatever, right?
I wonder if it's like actually good or people are going for the experience.
Oh, people are going for the experience. That's why I'm talking about it, right? It's because it's so shocking.
Yeah.
That there's a Panda Express fine dining restaurant. But I do think when they leave the restaurant, right, they are saying that the food's good. Okay. So
it's both.
It's both.
Wow.
Another crazy fact. So, you know, like the Grammy Awards?
Yeah.
So it's like one of the most sought after awards you could get in the music industry.
Right.
You look at those, you know, it's like a little speaker.
Yeah,
a little
podium. Like the record player.
Yeah, record player. Exactly. And it's like a very, you know, sought after award.
Right.
Every musician wants one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw, but Olivia Rodrigo, I can't remember how many she won, but she was taking photos with her Grammy Award and she broke it, right? She dropped it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Broke. Now, most people would think those awards are very expensive.
Uh-huh.
What's your guess on how much you think a Grammy Award would cost?
I would think, since they're probably actual, like, full-on metal.
Right. Or gold, right?
Or gold, yeah. Got to be, like, a couple thousand, right?
You would think, right?
How much is it?
So, apparently, I don't know how true this is. I read this, but from what I gathered, one Grammy Award,
yeah,
to make one, okay, is $15.
Shut up.
Yeah.
$15.
$15.
Are you serious?
So
you buy replicas at the store for more than $15.
I know. Isn't that crazy that the replicas cost more
that
than
is
actual
crazy.
Grammy? Now, when you look at an Oscar,
yeah,
right? I've held an Oscar in my hand.
Heavy,
and that's definitely way more expensive than $15.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think that a Grammy is $15. When you go buy, like, yeah, what you're saying, the replica Grammy?
Right.
It's probably like $30.
I wonder why they decided to do that.
I don't know.
You would think a Grammy, right? That's, like you said, one of the most sought after awards in the music industry.
Right.
Why would you make it only $15? Like, that's how much it costs to make it?
Yeah.
It's that cheap.
Yeah, it's that cheap.
Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, so that's why when Olivia Rodrigo broke it, it's probably like, not a big deal.
Oh, $15.
Like, yeah, we'll get another
Let's
one.
Let's just get one from the back.
Yeah, speaking of money, cool. This was so weird.
Money?
I saw this video. So this guy on the streets of Las Vegas. Now,
okay,
in downtown Las Vegas, there's a lot of, like, people dressed up in costumes, street performers, like magicians,
yeah,
comedians. Everyone has their own little act, and they're hoping to get paid, like, some money.
Right?
So this one guy, he has this sign that says, tip me if your girlfriend is hot.
Oh, my god!
So this guy has this sign that says that, right? And someone was just videotaping this guy holding up the sign to see how much money the guy gets in tips,
yeah,
right? And you see this couple walk by, and they both look at the sign, and they keep walking. And the girlfriend, like, gets so mad at her boyfriend, like, you kept walking? Like, bro, go give him some money.
Oh, my god!
So the guy is just smiling, doesn't say a word, holds the sign up, doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And people just keep giving him money.
That is crazy.
I know. I just think it's so funny because, like, obviously, you don't got to give the guy a lot.
Right.
But you better give him, like, a dollar.
That
you better
is
give him something.
Genius.
Yeah. So the guy's making good money.
Oh, my goodness.
And you remember when we were in downtown Las Vegas. It is packed.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's insane there.
So he's there.
Okay.
And
he
that's
just
where he's collecting
with a
his
sign?
Money. Yeah.
In a cup.
And he's making money.
Wow.
I mean, that cup is full.
That is such a genius sign.
I know. I wish
I can't
I
believe
thought of
that. Nobody has thought of that before.
I know. We should try.
I know.
We should try and see how well we do.
Oh, my God. We should go to, like, downtown LA and do it.
Yeah. I don't know how safe that would be, though. Let's move on to some movie news. Now, we all love Spider-Man. You know, with all the delays in the Marvel movies, it's hard to say exactly where Spider-Man 4 is going to fall now.
Yeah.
Like, when is it actually going to happen? But there are talks that Sony, you know, as they collaborate with Marvel, they always do that lend out program, right? Where we lend you Spider-Man, we get one of the MCU characters in our movie, right?
Yeah.
So in the next Spider-Man 4 movie, we've seen Spider-Man team up with Doctor Strange. We've seen him team up with Iron Man. Now, in the fourth Spider-Man movie, it looks like he's going to be teaming up with Ant-Man. Which I think is a really cool dynamic.
That is really interesting.
Both of them are really funny, really goofy.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of growth to be had with Scott Lang. Now, we've seen Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Tom Holland
interact with these great heroes like Doctor Strange and Tony Stark, who are very mature. They're very seasoned. They know exactly what's going on in the world. They're very proficient at what they do.
Right.
Ant-Man is slowly becoming that more established hero. Scott Lang is slowly becoming more mature, kind of understanding what he's supposed to do, right? Yeah. But he's still pretty new to it. Like, he just had that huge breakthrough with Kang where he's able to defeat him. But I think it's interesting now. I think for the first time, Spider-Man, Tom Holland, may be a little more mature than the older version that he's going to be teaming up with, the older hero.
Right.
Which makes it a very interesting dynamic. I was thinking about it. It's like, finally, Tom Holland's not going to be like the kid, you know? He's actually going to be kind of like more equal, like a more equal peer, maybe even a little more experienced and more mature than Ant-Man.
Right. Because, I really wonder what it's going to be like, Tom Holland's Peter Parker after Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Because, man, that was rough for him.
Yeah, but it really forced him to grow up.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be really interesting to see Tom Holland kind of finally, for the first time, really be the guy, you know, and not rely on Doctor Strange or Iron Man.
Right. Oh, I wonder if they're going to bring Cassie in too then.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. But that's two MCU characters.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to do it.
Wow.
Maybe it's just Scott Lang.
Oh.
Okay, moving on to another crazy thing in the movie industry, George Clooney. Everyone that knows George Clooney, for the most part, you know him either from Batman or the Ocean's movies.
Right.
Ocean 11, Ocean 12, Ocean 13. Apparently, George Clooney just came out today or yesterday saying that the Ocean 14 script is done.
Whoa.
And they wrote the script, and he said he's so happy with it. He said the vibe that they asked him, like, what's the script? What can you tell us? And he said, I'm really going for the idea of going out in style, right? So he really says that this script's going to really send him off nicely, and it's going to be a really good conclusion to the characters.
Wow. So is everyone coming back?
Apparently, everyone that's alive
is
going to return.
Right.
And it's going to be great. And along with that news, Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie are also going to be in an Ocean's prequel movie where Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling will be playing Danny Ocean, who's George Clooney's character's parents.
What?
So they're going to be the parents of George Clooney, but it's a prequel, right? So the movie takes place before Oceans.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I really like the dynamic between Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I feel like it's really growing on me. I don't know how many movies they've done together besides Barbie.
Right, but I feel like even if that is their first movie that they've ever done, it was very good.
It was.
The chemistry.
It was really good. And I think it's going to be a very interesting story to show how Danny Ocean became such a good thief and such a mastermind.
Right. Especially because, like, when I think about Ryan Gosling doing a role like this, I think about Gray Man.
Uh-huh.
So he could bring that, like, humorous from Barbie part and then Gray Man, the action.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good.
Yeah, I think it's going to do really well. And I think it's so cool that they're going to have this prequel movie coming out, and maybe a couple years from now we'll have Ocean's 14.
Wow.
Okay, moving on. We all saw the Godzilla X Kong trailer. Now, yes. Looks amazing. As we know, the King Kong universe and the Godzilla universe, they've just been absolutely crushing it with their movies, and the crossover has been so great. And I feel like, you know, it's so weird to say that, because for the longest time I feel like Godzilla movies were kind of like, it's just, you know, monster terrorizing the city.
Yeah.
But it's amazing what they've done with this film franchise. And in the trailer, we see a young ape, right? A young King Kong.
Yeah.
And apparently that's going to be King Kong's son.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's what there's speculation that that's going to be his son. Yeah.
I wonder how they're going to do that then. Like, what the plot's going to be if King Kong has a son now and it's like a Godzilla King Kong movie?
You know what? It probably is that they want to have another story option. Right. They want to be able to explore this new King Kong.
Right.
Because King Kong, as we know throughout history, King Kong, it's usually like the origin story told a bunch of times.
Yeah, that is true.
And this is probably the longest stretch of King Kong movies where it's been in self-contained storyline, you know, like it's been continuous.
So now they're going to use the sun to make a new one, like one that's original.
Right.
I see. Wow.
Which makes a lot of sense.
It does make sense. Yeah.
We go that route.
I also have been hearing very great things about Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, I know. We still have to see that. I'm so bummed that we haven't. But
I know.
Godzilla Minus One apparently is one of the highest rated Godzilla films. And it's amazing how well it's doing in the United States, because you can't watch it without subtitles. Unless you know Japanese.
Right.
But the whole movie's in Japanese.
Wow.
So it just shows you the fact that so many Americans that don't understand Japanese are happy to go watch it, and they watch it with the subtitles, and they have such a great experience still.
I've also heard that fans that aren't even fans of Godzilla have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Just because it's just purely a good movie.
Yeah. Gosh, I want to go watch it so bad. I told our friend H that we would watch it.
Oh, yeah. We need to watch it.
Yeah. So we have to go watch it.
I also really want to watch Hunger Games again, to be honest.
Tell everyone what you told me about the Twitter thing.
Oh, my. Okay. So if you guys are on Twitter, I'm sure a lot of people have seen this, but people have just been posting the full movie on Twitter, like of random movies. Like the other day I saw Hunger Games. The other day I saw Shrek 2. Then I saw Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay. Spider-Man No Way Home, Shrek 2, it's not very shocking to me.
Yeah.
But the fact that Hunger Games, the one that's in theaters,
yeah,
is on Twitter and really good quality, right?
Yeah, it was good quality and it was the full movie.
That is unbelievable. Where is that file? Like, how do they even have that
I don't know. That's what's so crazy.
That's
so
weird.
It was up for about, I think, 7 hours. And then the content got taken down.
Wow.
Come on, 7 hours. People are going to watch it a good, like, 3 times.
Yeah, you could at least watch it twice, that's for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw this other thing that's so weird. So, like, I saw this whale giving birth.
Huh?
So, this whale's giving birth.
Okay.
And I don't know why I'm talking about this. It's so random. This whale's giving birth, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
And all of a sudden, there's, like, all these fish swimming around it.
Oh.
Swimming around the whale.
Okay.
And apparently they're dolphins. So so these dolphins. Wait, hear me out. Okay. Let me just show you how cool dolphins are. Okay. These dolphins swim around the whale. Like create like a force field around the whale.
Okay.
To allow it to give birth, right?
Okay.
And what the dolphins are doing is they're protecting the whale from sharks.
So that they don't eat the baby.
Yeah. But isn't that amazing how dolphins are that smart?
Yeah. Dolphins are supposed to be one of the smartest animals.
You know it's against the law to communicate with a dolphin?
How do you...
Like,
what?
You're not allowed to talk to wild dolphins. You can't go in the water and try to communicate with them.
I can't go up to a dolphin and, like, wave hi?
Not in the water. Like, you can't be, like, what? Trying to communicate with a dolphin.
Why?
Okay, well, the theory is that it has, like... You know how they use, like, echo sounds?
Yeah.
Like, whatever?
Echolocation.
Yeah, but they communicate through frequency.
Right.
And apparently their frequencies have like a lot of healing factors or like something really good about from dolphins. They can heal you or something.
Yeah.
And people in power don't want people communicating with dolphins for some reason. So it's against the law.
That is weird.
So people are allowed to go try to catch a shark or like go talk to a shark or capture it or hunt it down or whatever, fish it out. But you can't go talk to a dolphin?
That's weird. Like, especially because dolphins are known to be very smart animals and also very nurturing.
Yeah.
That is weird.
I heard if, like, you give birth in a, like, pool with a dolphin.
Yeah.
They have, like, those dolphin-assisted births, which I don't know how that's legal. But in certain countries or states, you can get a dolphin-assisted birth.
Right.
And apparently the birth of the baby is way more successful and, like, the baby comes out way more healthy and...
Oh, that's
less
crazy.
Less complications.
Okay, there must be something to the frequency, how they...
Yeah.
They must have some sort of healing
thing. Isn't that weird, though? Dolphin-assisted births.
Yeah. Because I've heard of giving birth in, like, a tub.
Yeah.
Because just being in the water or something, but I've never heard of a dolphin being in the same water with you.
Yeah, apparently that's the thing.
That is weird. Something that also happened this week, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, is now the highest grossing tour ever. Guinness World Record.
Okay.
1.04 million.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like...
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Who even... I can't believe she didn't break it earlier.
I know.
Who had it before her?
I have no idea. But
That would have been good to know.
Yeah, it would have been good to know, but...
You know, I'm Googling it now.
Go ahead. 1.04 million, or billion, sorry. Not million, billion. And is a Guinness World Record for highest grossing tour ever in history. That is insane, but you got to think about it. This tour is massive. She's had like, I think it was $1.04 billion for 60 shows.
Well, yeah, she surpassed over $1 billion in revenue.
Yeah, that is insane.
I'm trying to read right now because I know that's going to bug people. I'll be like, who has that before?
It's got to be like
Beyonce? Yeah, I mean, I just
something
like
that.
I don't see who else could top her. That's so weird that I can't find it though. Top grossing concert films. is
gotta be
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber, wow.
Okay, here we go. So, 10 of the top grossing music tours. Now that we know Taylor Swift has that.
Number one.
Elton John, I think.
Oh, wow.
I think Elton John's farewell tour started in 2018. Ooh. $853 million.
Wow. And you were a part of that $853 million.
Yeah, so it goes Elton John, farewell tour.
Okay.
Then we have Ed Sheeran behind him. Ooh. And then U2 in the third spot.
Okay.
That's amazing, though. Elton John and Ed Sheeran. Wow, Ed Sheeran's up there.
Yeah. I've heard his concerts are really good.
Yeah, but I'm just shocked that Ed Sheeran's that successful.
I'm surprised, like, maybe, like, a Coldplay is up there or something like that.
Coldplay is 7th.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I can name off more artists than, like, that I feel like would be up there. Like, I feel like Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonce should.
What the heck? She's not even on the top 10.
What?
No.
Okay, that is weird.
That is really weird.
Well, congratulations, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, congratulations, Taylor Swift. Gee whiz.
Yeah. Some other news that happened this week. 10-year-old boy gets put on probation for peeing in public.
Oh, my gosh.
So what happened was this 10-year-old boy walked out of his mom's car and started peeing behind his mom's car while his mom was, like, meeting with an attorney.
Okay.
A police officer saw the kid peeing behind his mom's car.
Yeah.
Put him in the cop car. Right? The kid's probably scared for his life. He's only 10.
Yeah.
Third grade. Okay. Then they go to the police station or something, or they go to court. They give him 3 months of probation, okay, for peeing in public.
Yeah.
This 10-year-old. And they order him to write a 2-page essay about Kobe Bryant.
Why Kobe Bryant?
Because that's his favorite player.
Oh, okay.
But this kid is 10 years old.
Gosh, I feel like the kid was probably, like, he was probably stuck in the car. And
he probably had to go.
Right, and then he tried to go behind the car.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's wrong at all.
I don't either, but, you know, especially because he's a kid. He's a 10-year-old kid.
What do you want the kid to do? Like, he could die from holding it in his pee. Like, exactly. He gotta go.
Well, 3 months probation and 2-page essay.
You know what's so crazy, too? Random thought, okay?
Random thought.
I heard Tiger Woods is leaving Nike.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
Wait a second. Tiger Woods is leaving Nike.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. He's getting older. You know, he's not playing as much.
Yeah.
Right? But he's on his comeback. And I think Nike, you know, Nike Golf has been kind of falling off a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But I think they're paying so much money to Tiger Woods, and they're not bringing enough money in. So they're kind of like, oh, we can't afford him anymore.
Yeah.
So his last appearance will be the PNC father-son.
With Nike.
With Nike, yeah.
And then it's done.
Supposedly.
He's
that's
been
the rumor.
With Nike for years.
Yeah.
And they just re-released his old shoe.
I know.
Okay, so moving on, it is time to do an AI casting.
You know, last week I felt it was pretty right on. I feel like the casting was shockingly really good.
Yeah, so someone asked AI to cast a live-action Wreck-It Ralph.
You know what? A live-action version of Wreck-It Ralph would be really interesting to see.
Yeah, so first, Sergeant Calhoun will be played by Scarlett Johansson. Shank will be played by Zoe Saldana. Sour Bill will be played by Danny DeVito. And King Candy will actually be Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey would be a perfect fit for that.
Yeah, so Fix-It Felix will actually be Tom Holland. Taffeta will be Isabella Mauner. Vanellope will be played by Millie Bobby Brown. And then Ralph, it is said that his best fit by Kevin James.
I could see Kevin James doing it. Like, I feel like that's okay. I feel like that's pretty good.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's like, it could fit.
It could
work.
Fit. He's a little older now, but
it could work.
It could work. Put a wig on him. Give him some hair. Or more hair, I guess.
So there's also another thing I wanted to talk about. So Google just released a video of all the top searches around the world for 2023.
I'm scared to see what people are searching.
Yeah, so they took a bunch of different categories and they found which is the top searched person or thing in that category. So the most searched sport in 2023 was soccer. The most searched athlete was Ronaldo. The most searched MVP of the sports was actually LeBron James. The top searched Pokemon was Pikachu. And the most searched movie cast was the Harry Potter cast.
It's amazing. Amazing how relevant Harry Potter always stays.
Yeah, so then the most searched boy band was BTS. The top searched performance was actually Beyonce. The most searched emoji was the red heart emoji. I don't know why that was searched so much, but the top searched toy was Barbie. The most searched songwriter was obviously Taylor Swift. The most searched cartoon was actually SpongeBob. And the top searched superhero of 2023 was Spider-Man.
I feel like all those things you just named right there in terms of pop culture, they are all crushing it. And it makes sense, right? It makes sense. All those things are very popular. this year, and it makes sense that people are searching those things.
The only one that surprised me was the performance. I thought that was for sure going to be Taylor Swift's Eras Tour.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was Beyonce. Which also does not surprise me, but...
I think Beyonce got a lot of searches because her daughter is on the tour with her dancing, like being a backup dancer. I could see why it's getting a lot of attention, too.
I see. Okay, so now it's time to get into some theories. I think we're going to talk about some Hunger Games again.
The Hunger Games movies, collectively, are all so good. And I feel like the prequel even made it the stories even better.
So do you know all the times Katniss actually reminded Snow of Lucy Gray? Because when Crane is talking to Snow about Katniss and how she's an underdog and everybody loves underdogs, Snow immediately says that he hates underdogs because Lucy Gray was also an underdog and she ended up winning the games. And also Snow compliments Katniss on her Mockingjay pin because he remembers it from District 12, but he also remembers it from the last time he ever saw Lucy Gray.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that Snow hates Mockingjays.
Yeah, and we also see Katniss sing the Hanging Tree song, which was the Song of the Rebellion, but also written by Lucy Gray. And the name Katniss is actually the name of the root that Lucy Gray said she would go get when she decided to leave Snow forever. And apparently, when you go watch the original Hunger Games movies, you actually see that Snow never calls Katniss by her first name because he's so bothered by the name. So he always calls her Miss Everdeen. And Haymitch describes Katniss and Peeta's relationship as young love. And that's exactly what Snow had, so he wants to destroy it at all costs. So basically, Katniss reminds him of all the happiest times, his darkest times, and the times he turned into a monster.
You know, the prequel movie does bring things full circle.
Yeah.
And it answers a lot of questions that, you know, we always had about Snow, about this mystery character, Lucy Gray, and it makes a lot of sense why Katniss is the way she is.
Okay, so moving on to the next theory. We know Christmas is right around the corner, so we got to do a theory on a Christmas movie.
Christmas is literally right around the corner.
So do you know the Polar Express theory on how the entire movie is actually a lie?
How is the entire movie a lie?
So there's a crazy theory that the Polar Express is actually connected to Back to the Future, but the evidence is crazy for this. So remember when Hero Boy is talking to the guy that sits on top of the train, and he's basically asking him, like, is the train real, or is it magic, or is it all just a dream? And the guy doesn't give him a straight answer, but then the train starts to malfunction, and just for a split second, like, it's only on the screen for a second, you could actually see that on the train, there's a flux capacitor, the same device that allows the DeLorean in Back to the Future to time travel.
You actually see a flux capacitor there?
Yeah, and in the Polar Express, there's subtle hints given by the characters that actually point to time not working the same on the Polar Express. So it makes sense that they're actually time traveling, and in the movie we see newspapers with protests on them, and the protest is actually to build the Lone Pines Mall, the same mall in Back to the Future. And this all makes sense because the director of the Polar Express also directed Back to the Future, but it shows how there's no magic in the movie at all. It's just time travel.
Wow. I mean, did I ever think that Back to the Future would be connected to Polar Express? No, that's the most random connection, but the facts are there, I guess.
And they lied to us. There's no Christmas magic on that train. It's a time travel machine.
There's still Christmas magic alive.
That is true. There's always Christmas magic.
Okay, moving on to another interesting topic. I think there's a question in the movie industry that us fans tend to have, and that is, who's getting paid what?
Oh, yeah.
You know, as we know, The Rock, right? Shoot. He makes over, you know, who knows? 400 million. I don't know how much he makes a year.
Yeah.
But he is the highest paid actor. And I know, you know, Robert Downey Jr. made roughly 140 million, I believe, for Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. And that year, Robert Downey Jr. was second highest paid, but then he was beat by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, Avengers Endgame is one of the biggest films of all time.
Yeah.
And how does The Rock, what movie does he bring out, surpasses Endgame? I don't know, but
it's definitely something that's not talked about a lot.
So do you know how much money Zendaya has made throughout her career?
No.
Okay, so for the show Shake It Up, she made $140,000 for her entire time being on the show, which was 3 years total. And then for Casey Undercover, she made $400,000 per season, and she did 3 seasons, so she made $1.2 million there. And then for Spider-Man Homecoming, her first appearance as MJ, she made $300,000. And then for Far From Home, she got paid another $300,000. And then for Spider-Man No Way Home, she got paid $2 million. And then for Dune Part 1, she made $300,000, and she was only in the movie, though, for 7 minutes. And for Euphoria, she made $50,000 per episode. Now for Season 3, she will most likely get paid $1 million per episode. And for the new movie she's in, The Challenger, she was paid $10 million. So she's made roughly over $24 million for her entire acting career. I'm not talking about music or anything else, just her acting.
Okay, it's pretty amazing how much money she's made.
It is amazing, but the only thing that I thought was really strange is that, yeah, the amount of money she made on Shake It Up for the amount of work she probably had to do was not much, right? But then when you look at Spider-Man Homecoming, the movie made crazy money.
Uh-huh.
Robert Downey Jr. was paid, I think, like $20 million for 10 minutes of screen time.
Oh, my God.
For Zendaya, at the time, who was a very popular celebrity, to only get paid $300,000, I thought was kind of low.
Yeah.
$24 million is exuberant so much money. So much money. I'm not trying to say that she doesn't have a lot of money. I'm just saying that at the point where I thought she was at in her career, in a movie that made so much money, to only get $300,000 for her role when these other actors are making $20, $10 million,
right.
It's kind of like shocking because Zendaya's name is very big.
Yeah.
If not bigger than Tom Holland's.
It's also weird in Far From Home, right? That's when she started playing a bigger role in the movies.
Yeah.
And she got the paid the same.
Yeah. I don't know if they negotiated the movies as a package deal.
Oh.
And obviously No Way Home, major success, and she got more money.
That's seriously a topic I've never really even thought of, but it's really interesting.
Okay, so moving on, I feel like this is very important, and I want to try to spread positivity, and anytime I could come across something like inspiring or, you know, just to help someone through their day, because I know this has helped me through my time on this earth, I would like to share it.
It's always good to share positive stuff like that.
Okay, so this movie scene totally changed my life.
How did you... How did you do it?
You know, you just keep your elbows up and keep the shoulders loose.
Not that. How did you find peace? I took away your parents. Everything. I scarred you for life.
See, that's the thing, Shen. Scars heal.
No, they don't. Wounds heal.
Oh, yeah. What do scars do? They fade, I guess?
I don't care what scars do.
You should, Shen. You gotta let go of that stuff from the past, because it just doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what you choose to be now.
You're right.
I feel like that's such an important message for everyone to hear.
Yeah, it's that good reminder, right? Your past may have scarred you, but it's never too late to move forward and move past them.
I do feel like every day there's like hurt and there's tragedy in the world. And we've all been through difficulties and trials and tribulations that are just unexplained. But I do think it is like the effort of trying to push forward every day, right?
Yeah.
Keep moving forward. I'm not saying it's easy in any way, right? It's never easy to move forward through a difficult time, right? Where you feel like things are falling apart. If you choose not to move forward,
mm-hmm.
you choose your scars be there and just tear you down more.
Yeah.
No one's going to come and save you, right?
Right.
It's just at the end of the day, it's like you have to try to get up and move forward, because if you don't, you sit in it, the scars and the damage that was done to you, it will always drag you down.
Right.
Okay. This next part of the podcast is really crazy. Now, this may be, I've said a lot of stories on this podcast, a lot of fun facts, a lot of psychology facts, a lot of things that have shocked me in my lifetime. And this next thing may be one of the most disturbing, entertaining stories that I've ever heard in my life.
What?
And I don't know what to take away from this story. I don't know what you're supposed to take away from it. I don't know what you're supposed to feel after this. I hope you don't feel very good. I hope you question society after this. And I think there's a lot to be said about this movie in terms of the pure evilness that there is in the world.
Oh, boy.
So do you know the story about the man who turned his best friend into a dog?
How does someone turn their best friend into a dog?
So the story starts out with this man named Christian, and he's on Tinder, and he's scrolling through Tinder, and he sees this girl named Sigrid, and he's super intrigued by her. So he super likes her. And then after he gets off of Tinder, he goes and helps his dog, brushes his dog's teeth, and when it's time for bed, his dog sleeps on the floor. So Christian decides to go on Tinder again, and he sees that Sigrid actually matched with him. So now Christian decides to message Sigrid and just says hi. And then the next morning, he opens up Tinder and he sees that Sigrid actually responded back to him and that they should hang out together. So obviously Christian's super happy that this girl matched with him and agreed to hang out. So Christian gets ready and heads to this restaurant to meet with Sigrid. So when he gets to the restaurant, he sits down and he's waiting for Sigrid to come to the restaurant. But he sits there, the waiter comes, and Sigrid is nowhere to be found. And finally, after waiting for a long time, Sigrid finally arrives. So Christian and Sigrid, they both sit down, they're talking, they're having a great time. Hours go by and they really hit it off. And Christian asks Sigrid, "Do you want to come back to my house?" And she agrees to go.
Okay, this is supposed to be a scary movie. This is off to a pretty normal start.
Yeah, so Sigrid goes to the house. She absolutely loves the home and tells Christian, like, this is one of the most beautiful homes she's ever seen. And they sit down on the couch together and they just keep talking. They're having a great time. Sigrid ends up staying the night, but the next morning, Sigrid wakes up and at the edge of the bed, it's Christian's dog named Frank, and he's panting at the bed. Sigrid absolutely freaks out when she sees the dog, runs out of the house, and is just in utter shock. Sigrid runs out, gets in the car, and heads to meet her friend, and she's just shocked what she saw. And she tells her friend, like, "You will not believe how weird this is. This man that I met on Tinder has this dog that doesn't look like a dog, but he keeps this dog in his house." So the friend tells Sigrid, like, "Hey, you better be careful. This sounds like a really weird situation. You better not talk to him. You better not see him again." But Sigrid can't help herself. So she calls Christian, says, "Hey, I want to see you again. I miss you." And Christian agrees agrees to pick her up, he brings her back to his house. And Christian tells her, like, hey, I know it's a little weird about Frank, but just know that Frank, he actually wants to be my dog, and that's his choice. Christian tells Sigrid that please treat Frank like a dog because that's his wishes. So Sigrid, trying to be respectful, she wants to try to play and pet Frank. So she starts trying to pet Frank, and all of a sudden Frank starts getting too close to her and starts touching her, and she starts to get really uncomfortable. So Sigrid screams. So all of a sudden Christian runs into the room and yells at Frank for doing that, and literally tells him, like, you better stop.
So Frank is a human pretending to be a dog.
Yeah, so Christian reveals that when he was growing up as a kid, no one wanted to be his friend. They only wanted to be his friend because his family had money. But Frank was the only friend he had that loved Christian, not because he had money. So Sigrid has compassion towards Christian and stays the night again. But at night, you see how Frank watches Sigrid as she sleeps. So the next day, Christian surprises Sigrid and Frank with a trip to his other home. And his other home is in the woods, and it's a really nice home. But when they get to the house, Christian asks Sigrid, like, hey, I would like to have your phone because I want to keep it with me because I don't want any distractions for you. He tells her, we'll have a great time at the home. Just give me your phone. So she gives him the phone. He literally grabs the phone and runs and hides it.
Why would she give him her phone?
Yeah, but get this. So that night, they're all hanging out in the living room, and then all of a sudden, Christian gets up and leaves the room. And all of a sudden, Frank runs over to Sigrid, and he takes off his dog mask and says to Sigrid, please help me. Frank tells Sigrid that Christian is crazy and that he's going to kill us both. So after Frank told Sigrid that Christian is going to kill them both, all of a sudden Christian walks back into the room and Sigrid is just in shock. She doesn't know what to do. So she tells Christian, like, hey, I'm so tired. I need to go to my bed. I need to rest. So in the middle of the night, Sigrid wakes up and she tries to be really quiet and she leaves her bed and she starts to go downstairs and she's trying to get out of here because she wants to escape. So as she's trying to open the door, it's locked and she can't get out. But when she turns around, all of a sudden Christian is right behind her and asks her, what are you doing? And she told Christian, like, hey, look, I just wanted to go outside. I just needed some air. And Christian told her, I lock the door every night so things can't come into my house and things that are in my house can't leave. And he just kind of starts laughing like it's a joke.
Okay, she is so screwed.
So Christian agrees to go outside with Sigrid and go on a walk. And they both go outside to get some fresh air. And Sigrid is just so stressed out. It's making her sick. She then asks Christian, like, can I have my phone, please? And Christian says no. So Sigrid tells Christian, like, hey, I need to call my mom because my mom is sick. So Christian agrees to give her phone, but she has to call her mom on speakerphone. So Sigrid calls her mom on speakerphone and the mom answers. And Sigrid asks how she's doing. And she told Sigrid, I'm doing a lot better. So Sigrid hung up the phone. And right when she hung up the phone, Christian took the phone back from her. So later that day, Sigrid asked Christian, like, hey, can I take Frank on a walk? I kind of want to get to know him better and spend some quality time with him. Christian tells Sigrid, like, oh, of course, you could take him. Go ahead, go on a walk. So Sigrid goes on a walk with Frank, and when they get far enough, she asks Frank, what are we supposed to do to get out of here? How are we going to escape? But Frank is really scared and tells her, like, hey, you got to be quiet. He can hear us. So Sigrid tells Frank, like, hey, we can escape right now. Like, we're out. We can do this. And Frank's like, no, we can't. We can't leave. We can't leave right now. Frank tells her that if Christian catches us running away, he will torture us. So Frank tells Sigrid that the only way we're going to get out of this is if you attack Christian in the middle of the night when he's sleeping.
Dude, why don't they just run? They're out of the house.
So they both go back to the house, and Sigrid goes into the kitchen, secretly grabs the kitchen knife, and she takes the kitchen knife to her bedroom, and she puts the knife underneath her pillow. But right when Sigrid's about to leave the room, all of a sudden Christian walks into the room and says, hey, like, I want to change the bed sheets. Like, we need to redo the bed. But Sigrid's like, no, please let me do the bed. I'll do the bedding. And she literally is begging him to let her do the bed sheets. And after a lot of convincing, Christian's like, fine, go ahead, you can do it. So a couple hours go by, and all of a sudden Christian goes up to Sigrid and says, hey, we need to talk. Something's wrong with the bed. Sigrid is so worried at this moment because she knows that the knife is underneath her pillow, and she's so worried what Christian's about to say. So Sigrid just tells him, like, what's wrong with the bed? There's nothing wrong. Christian lashes out at her and gets really mad and says, how dare you make the bed like this? This is horrible. You need to redo this bed right now. And then, like a psycho, he just starts laughing because he's making a joke to Sigrid, like, hey, I'm just joking. The bed's fine.
Dude, this guy's weird.
Yeah, so that night they have dinner and they're both sitting at the table, and all of a sudden Sigrid starts to feel really sick and she passes out at the table. So Christian grabs Sigrid, carries her up the stairs, and puts her in her bed. And a couple hours go by, and all of a sudden Sigrid wakes up and she reaches underneath her pillow and she can't find the kitchen knife. It's no longer there. So Sigrid is just panicking. She's sitting there. She's so worried because she knows that the knife is now taken away from her. And all of a sudden Christian walks in the room and says, hey, we need to talk. I need to show you something. So Christian takes her to sit down, and they both sit down and they start talking. And all of a sudden Christian pulls out this recording, and you hear Frank talking to Sigrid about how they're going to try to kill Christian in the middle of the night. And then all of a sudden Christian pulls out the kitchen knife. So Christian then takes Sigrid to see Frank, and he locked Frank up in this cage. And all of a sudden he starts trying to pet Frank, and then Frank bites him, and Frank and Christian start fighting each other. So while this is all happening, Sigrid grabs the keys of the house, runs out of the house, and this makes Christian really upset. So he grabs Frank, takes him to the barn, and starts beating him up even more. So while Christian and Frank are fighting, Sigrid is in the middle of the woods trying to find her way out, and she just can't. So she literally just grabs a stick and she runs back to the house.
She's going back with a
stick.
Yeah, so she goes back to the house and she literally hits Christian with the stick, trying to help Frank to be able to escape. But when they turn around, all of a sudden Christian gets up and knocks them both out. And then all of a sudden the movie cuts. And the next morning you see Christian filling up a dog bowl with food. And then he takes the bowl of dog food and he gives it to Frank. And Frank is eating it. So then Christian then takes another bowl of dog food and he takes it to the barn. And all of a sudden when he opens the door, you see that Sigrid is now in a dog costume too. And he hands her the food. Sigrid starts eating the food like a dog. And he literally tells Sigrid, like, hey, if you're good, I'll let you sleep in the house the next night. Then you see Christian filling up another bowl of dog food. And then all of a sudden he puts the bowl down, he opens up a cage, and he says, here's your food, son. And then the movie stops.
Okay, that has to be one of the worst endings to a movie ever.
Yeah, it's horrible. It is one of the most sickening movies, and I just can't believe, like, it's worth telling the story because I'm just like, this is actually a movie?
Yeah. Dude, what the heck is that?
It's one of the most disturbing things I've ever heard.
I have, like, goosebumps, like, everywhere.
I don't recommend watching it, but there you go.
Okay, so now we're moving on to dumb ways to die, where I talk about the craziest and stupidest ways people have died. So the first one, Grand Canyon story. This guy decides to go to the Grand Canyon with his friends, decides to play a prank on them that he's falling off the cliff. Now, prank goes wrong. He actually fell off the cliff.
Oh my gosh.
And he died.
That is horrible.
Go on to the last one. This guy went on a bike ride one morning. He had headphones on, playing loud music. Decided to take a shortcut that he's never taken before. Okay, decides to take the shortcut, and it's like a long road. And he's like, oh, open road. Might as well just keep going. Didn't realize that the open road he was on was a runway.
Oh my gosh.
Incoming landing plane. He obviously doesn't hear it because of his headphones.
Uh-huh.
The plane crushes him, and he dies.
That's so sad.
And thank you for watching Dumb Ways to Die.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the podcast. If you're new to the channel, like I said earlier, please hit the subscribe button. It's the one that says subscribe on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That one?
The red one.
And also,
no, it's white now.
Oh, it's white.
It's white now. Big white button.
So also, hit the like button. If this video gets 1,000 likes, we'll be giving a hot toy, which is one of these, to one of you guys. And comment what you guys want us to talk about next week. If you have any personal stories, any news stories, or anything that you find entertaining that you would love for us to talk about on the podcast, send it to us. We will say your name on the podcast or credit you for whatever or you want to be anonymous. That's totally fine too. Just DM us on Instagram if you have a story. And we'll see you guys tomorrow on TikTok. And we'll see you guys next week, Sunday, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.
See you on TikTok.
God bless you guys. See ya.
Love ya.